Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. This video was taken originally off of youtube.com/Hashnasi, that's Hotel Oscar Sierra Hotel, November Alpha Sierra India. I stream every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, on all topics related to ham radio. Without further ado, let's get started. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course. It's Friday. I have had a week. Let me tell you about my week. Last week we had a flood. The asbestos abatement started today, and last night my wife's car got broken into. So I fixed, or I didn't. Somebody came and fixed the window today. So, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about ham radio and all the fun things about ham radio. Normally that would be the case. Today, though, a serious episode. A real serious episode. We need to talk about the ARRL technician enhancement. And the Tyro license, T-Y-R-O. What is that all about? We will be covering that. But first, let's listen to a little music. And we're going to break it down with some news. All right, let's get this switched over. How's everybody doing? I'm doing very well. As always, Ham Radio Crash Course, we're trying to move forward with amateur radio. We're trying to learn about amateur radio, learn all the things, and then apply it. Because I've always found you learn by doing, and when you do it, you remember it, and then you can deploy it later. So we talk about all the things to get out there and get started with ham radio. And today we're going to be talking about potentially increasing privileges for technicians, so I find that pretty interesting. Steven says, hey, greetings from Pikes Peak region. Right on. I love that area. I love Colorado Springs. I love the Garden of the Gods. I had such a fun time going out there. Great little walk, little walking hike area. Beautiful area. If you guys can get up there, check that out. Also, Pikes Peak is a drive-up soda summit. So that's an easy 10-pointer right there. I guess easy is relative because you still got to get your car up. What's Tyro? Well, we'll be talking about that. Basically, it would be a new kind of license for amateur radio. We got Texas in the house, Ontario, Canada. James is here. What's up, James? Hey, quick shout out. James has got the Slinktenna going. I'm going to try and get a review going on that pretty soon. Here it is. Ooh, look at that. It's almost translucent. I got the special semi-translucent green screen variety of the Slinktenna. Very cool. So make sure you check him out on, go follow him on Twitter at QuirkyQRP. We're going to do a Discord live after chat, so make sure you are on the Discord. Zach is probably posting the link somewhere. You might have already seen it, or it's in the description. So check that out. Minnesota, new technician for 2 weeks, K-E-0-U-U-V. Wow, U-U-V. Okay, that's going to be an interesting CW load. Northern California, KM6-G7M. Boulder City, Nevada, right on. And oh yeah, what's up, Juan Carlos? Man, you've been following us for a while, so I really appreciate you coming out and following. So the news, the FCC has posted that we can now submit comments on the technician enhancement and the Tyro application for creation and you know, making it a thing. So this month, the newsletter that I normally do for the patrons, I'm still doing that, but I'm probably going to put it out to a wider circulation because in it, I'm going to put the text that I'm going to send to the FCC for the technician enhancement. So I'll make that available through Facebook.com, probably through some Dropbox thing that I connect to the YouTube link to that, and then on Discord. So if you're not already, check out the Patreon links. It's in the description. It's $1 to get the newsletter, which is not bad at all. We will be doing call-ins at the end here, so I would love to hear your opinion. So as you're listening to me talk about all this, if you find there's something you think I'm wrong, or there's something that you like or you didn't think about, call in. I'd love your point of view. But of course, we'll still have the Discord live voice after chat, so if you'd like to talk over there, that'll work too. What else? Upcoming videos. Okay. Oh, one thing. Yeah, W5KUB. .com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Time. I'm on there along with Jason Ham Radio 2.0. He's been out there too, which has been a lot of fun. The last time it was just Tom, Jason, and I, and we had a blast. So you can check him out on Facebook, I'm sorry, on YouTube for W5KUB and W5KUB.com. Cool, cool. upcoming videos. I have a bankload of upcoming videos coming out, which I'm very excited about. The Sea Crane. I keep doing that. Sea Crane Skywave single sideband. I have an ID51A video coming out from the ICOM Handy Talkie. Of course, the Slink Tenna, a bunch of FT891 stuff from Yaesu, and more from Chameleon. So make sure you follow that and hit subscribe. Let's see. Nebraska, KC0QNB, right on. How many people we got watching? 150 people right now. Awesome. Thank you for that. And I need to mute my phone. Good timing to remember that. And let's see. Before we kick this off, yes, the Brew Crew. Can't forget. The Brew Crew I have, oh boy, I have a growler from Bootleggers, which is a brewery in Fullerton. I dropped some stuff off at the Salvation Army and figured I'd stop by. It was a couple of miles away. So I'm going to have a little bit of this out of my 64-ounce growler. I will not be trying to do a competition on emptying this bad boy. But that is a Hydro Flask growler, and it's awesome. So cheers, everybody. Thank you for watching. The Mark Kid says, I'm thinking about trying FT8. You should absolutely try FT8. Absolutely try FT8. Do that. Okay. So what are we talking about? Well, we're not talking about the Collins just yet, but that's the phone number I'll be showing later. The ARRL Technician Enhancement. They're talking about, or proposed, to increase the privileges for technician class licensees, both people that would be getting the technician license and those that already have it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Maybe not, because my slides are all messed up again. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with where we're at today, and then we're going to talk about what they want to do, and hopefully I've captured a lot of the dissenting comments why it's not a good idea, because I think everybody knows I'm pretty much for this, but hey, Lee, what's up? Cheers. He's going down to Smog City. Smog City is a brewery in Southern California. It's very, very good. What's up, Lee? So hope to talk to you later with Christine. Maybe you'll call or join the Discord, and we can hear you guys out there. So we're going to cover what we do know about Technician today and what their proposed changes would be, effects to amateur radio, and then some of the dissenting comments. So very, very good. Tony says, I'm going to try to be positive. Hey, so I understand where the arguments come from, and I hope I do a pretty good job of trying to be objective, because you know I support it, but I get where people are coming from. So hopefully you'll keep me honest, and if I'm not being objective, maybe make a note about it, because yeah, I want to be. I truly appreciate, we're all a big community. We live in a society of amateur radio, and I want it to grow. I want it to live. I want it to thrive. I don't want to do something that will kill it. So here's the U.S. amateur radio ban plan that you are very familiar with. You've probably got a printout in your office somewhere. You could probably look to one side, and it's sitting there. So technicians largely on the HF bands have CW privileges. They have privileges on 80 meters, 40 meters, and 15 meters, and they only have CW band space. Now, I wanted to display this, and I'm going to make a note of it later. When you look at this and you see that little wave for continuous wave, the N is next to the T. The N stands for novice, T stands for technician, and underneath it says 200 watts. Technicians have a 200-watt PEP limit on their transmission power, so keep that in mind. The one, quote-unquote, HF band that is not CW, it's digital and voice, is 10 meters. And it's on the low side of 10 meters. It starts at 28 megahertz and goes up to 28.5 megahertz. So keep that in mind as we go forward. That's kind of the state of things right now. So you can get on 80, right? You can work CW, you can do 40, and you can do 15. I understand you may not be doing CW right now as a tech, but that option is there. And you have 10 meters, but more on my thoughts on that in a little bit. So VHF, UHF is often considered the tech playground because everything above 50 megahertz, techs have pretty much open access to. Repeaters, satellite, EME, Earth, Moon, Earth, Moon Bounces it's called. They have pretty much all of that. So, you know, repeaters are, you know, I've got a radio right in front of me. You know, the first thing you get as a tech is often people get an HT like this. This is the ID51A that I'll be reviewing and talking about in a future video. So it's kind of where we all start out. I started out buying an FT60, Yaesu FT60, and I got a lip mount that I still use today that I put on my S2000 with a quarter wave 2 meter vertical antenna. And I worked repeaters. That's what I did. Went to a couple club meetings, found a club that I liked, and ended up sticking with them. But by and large, that's what I spent most of my time doing until I ended up, what did I do? I think it was soda that actually started it. And it was other people talking at the clubs that got me interested in HF. But largely, you kind of get into the VHF, UHF sandbox, and that's kind of where a lot of people stick. James Hannibal says, 10 meter isn't enough. Techs need more of a taste of HF. Don't steal my thunder, James. We'll get to that in a second. So technicians, just to repeat where we're at, technicians get the following, right? And this breaks down the megahertz. They get 80, they get 40, they get 15, and they get data and single sideband on 10 meters, along with CW. And all modes access on everything above, should be above, not about 50 megahertz. And techs are limited to 200 watts PEP in the HF bands. This is really important to remember, okay, as we move forward, because it's going to be important. I've heard a lot of people say that they don't want to give techs access to HF, but I make this point twice because they already have access to HF. So technicians on HF. Techs are limited to CW on the HF bands, as I already said. On 10 meters, they have access to data. And the single sideband portion, this is why I put this, is the space that they're in on 10 meters is the DXing space of 10 meters. 10 meters is pretty wide, and there's a lot of stuff going on 10 meters that techs don't have access to. And again, big takeaway box there, 10 meters is predominantly really only viable sporadically during the day, and it will be that way for the next foreseeable years, right? We are in the low sun cycle, so it's not anyone's first band to go check out when they turn their radio on in the morning or mid-afternoon. That's my feeling. I'm much more likely to be on 20 meters or likely 40 meters, specifically recently since I've been doing more CW. 40 meters is bueno for that. So actually, if you are a tech and you're thinking about getting on HF, get a 40 meter CW transceiver. You won't be disappointed. So the technician question pool, right? It's the test that everybody takes to get their technician license. It does talk about HF, right? It mentions it very much the same way that VHF, UHF is defined. Specific questions on band allocations, specific questions on use of upper sideband in 10 meters, which is, again, that's the kind of adopted normal thing we do. We use upper sideband when we cross over the boundary of 20 meters to 30 meters, etc., right? We switch over to upper sideband for everything higher than 20 meters, basically. All right. So here are the proposed changes. Tom Wright says, just combine tech in general. Most can pass the general test anyhow with just a little more effort. We'll be talking about that too, Tom. It's a good comment. I'm telling you, Chris, we'll make a quick little detour. Is the cross chat not working? No, it's not. Restream.io is the company I stream with, and it's currently not working. I have a bug out with them, and their engineers are looking into it. It was really great, though, when we did that Q&A. I just did it spur of the moment. I know how to make it work, but how to make it work is not the way I like to do it for the Friday chats. I like to post it earlier in the week so you know it's coming. You can post a reminder, all that stuff. That doesn't work with the crossover chat. We'll get there, though, I promise. All right. So before we can kind of go the full distance, we've covered what technician is. We need to go back in time a bit and understand a little backstory. What happened was, anytime now, what happened was, there were more licenses. I mentioned novice, right? There's not many novices anymore. And they stopped giving out novice license. Novice license was like HF light. It was like a natty light, the beer, but in an HF sense. If you were a technician, technicians were largely emergency service, emergency preparedness, repeater use. That's where technicians were at. They were really only 50 megahertz and up at that point. So the novice came along or it had been around, and it gave you access to CW space, right? 80, 40, 15, for example. And when the FCC removed novice after working with the ARRL, they basically glommed the two licenses together. They made techs novices basically from the sense of HF. So that's where a lot of this stuff comes from regarding why technicians have CW today. And so because it was an amalgamation of the two licenses, and it can be a bit confusing as you follow the history of it. So understand that when people say they don't want to give any more to technicians, they might be talking about this time in space, this time whenever, when these two licenses were kind of combined, because they used to be two separate things. What was the comment there? ResMed user says, it would be easier if the FCC just told people just to fill out a form, pay $20, and you get access to everything, no BS tests, etc. It would be easier, but would it be better? That's a good question. That's a good question for a call-in. Somebody should call in with that question. Tyro attempts to bridge that gap. Hey, we got W5KUB in the house. Thanks for coming in. Tyro is attempting to bridge that gap. I think it does it a little ham-handedly, but we'll talk about that when we get there. So HF privileges, good, bad, warranted or not, this upgrade to tech is in part the springboard that led the ARRL to the petition that they sent to the FCC. So here is the ARRL proposed plan. They want to give digital and phone privileges to technicians on the HF bands that they already have access to. So it would be 80, 40, and 15. They wouldn't get any additional band access, like on 20 meters, for example. Same bands AFCW on is the takeaway here. In digital spaces, they'd get 35, 25 kilohertz to 3600 kilohertz. You can read the kilohertz. I won't read them out. But basically, they get a small portion of all those bands for digital and continuing CW if they'd like to do that. Phone, they would get another portion of the space to allow phone access. Again, they would be restricted to 20 watts of PEP power output. Okay, so the important part, it's in parentheses on the last, the phone portion, is that they would be placed in the same area that generals occupy today, but it would be a smaller portion. So generals would still have their own space. They can get away from techs if that were the case. And extras, of course, still get their own space that they could get away from generals. Get away is probably the wrong term, but their own secret club space on the bands, if you will. So the rationale for the ARRL doing this proposal came out in 2004. And I'll just read it verbatim because they do a good enough job and I don't want to try and use their words or twist their words. Because it, and they're referring to the tech class, offers operating privileges principally limited to the VHF bands and above, leaves newcomers to the amateur radio service in an isolated position of conducting only local rather than worldwide communications, and thus provides very little encouragement to progress and develop technical and operating skills. Okay, so you see where they're going with that. They're basically saying, we've created this license in the technician that is very much VHF, UHF centric. And because of that, with just the license alone, there's not much the ARRL feels the technician can do to experience HF without reaching out to Elmers or being a part of a club or a friend, a relative, whatever, that has the next level up that would allow them access to HF. That's kind of what they're saying in a nutshell in 2004. Continuing, we got a couple of quotes we got to go through here, but I think it says their point pretty well. The technician class license offered at the time little opportunity to experience other facets of amateur radio or to conduct worldwide communications. They're going to repeat that a lot. Key takeaway, this led, ARRL argued, to disinterest and to the failure to upgrade one's license, and it focuses the mindset of licenses on local communications. I think that's a generally universally accepted concept. I don't think that's not true. Whatever you feel about the arguments you have, I feel that that part in blue is totally and completely accurate. Amateur radio is a national and worldwide network of licensees who have historically interacted and formed worldwide fraternities without local boundaries. I myself really like that last part, without local boundaries. The entry-level license should offer limited operating privileges, but those privileges have to be, one, sufficient for the licensee to experience enough of the many facets of amateur radio, including nationwide and worldwide communications, to nurture an interest in proceeding further. So this is the Costco sample cart argument of amateur radio. If I give them a small piece of Jimmy Dean breakfast sandwich sample, they will be more likely to buy the 12-pack of microwavable Jimmy Dean breakfast sandwiches. That's basically what they're saying. Is if you get a little taste, then you're going to be more likely to want to progress. And I don't know the numbers for this. I should have probably done this little math beforehand, but I'm curious how many generals are more likely to get extra than technicians are to get general. That would be an interesting thing. I know extra is a lot harder than general, but I have a feeling that it probably works out in the favor of generals being more likely to get extra, even assuming the complexities of getting that license. So yeah, thanks for watching, everybody. By the way, we have 260 people watching. I really appreciate it. If it doesn't hurt you, give me a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button. I'd appreciate it. Or the thumbs up, at least. Or one or the other. You pick. But I appreciate it. But two, not so comprehensive a portfolio that the range of topics on which the entry-level examination candidate must be examined becomes so extensive and cumbersome that the license examination becomes daunting. So what they're saying here is that how do you give someone worldwide, nationwide ability in communication without testing the crap out of them, that they can't pass the test, right? Some would argue that's general. I don't necessarily agree, but you got to wait to see when I get to those slides. So this is the state of techs since 2007. Now, this is, respectfully, this is an ARRL graph. I will make a shout out here. I posted a link to, I believe it's Wireless Lady or Wireless Girl. It's in the description. She, or whomever the editor or creator of this article was, wrote a very compelling dissenting post on why we shouldn't give technicians an enhancement. And I feel that while it is a dissenting point, it's a very good point because they took the time to say what was good and what they didn't like, and actually picking and choosing some of the portions of this enhancement that would be really positive and blatantly saying, no, we don't want to do this. This is bad. So don't stop watching this, but maybe pull it up in another tab and make sure to go back and look at it because it was really, really good. So I do recommend you look at that. Since February 2007, overall amateur radio growth has barely been 1% per year. In an environment of huge technological changes with ubiquitous smartphones and internet usage now commonplace. I don't know why we needed that last part, but that's their quote from the FCC petition. And my note there is the drop that you see in 1991 with the arrow is due to the no-code tech growth rates normalizing. And obviously, in the 90s, when they got rid of CW, there was a huge upswing in technician licenses, huge in ham radio terms, huge. But it was huge, huge-ish, I guess would be the term, appreciable. And then again, the spike in 2009 comes from the full telegraph requirement removal from the actual licensing material. And that came a part of the international. It was an international involved decision, but that's where that little other bump is. And I got my license in, 2007. So I was right there in the late aughts. So local comms versus worldwide capabilities, as I mentioned. The ARRL really spent a lot of time to talk about worldwide comms versus local comms with regards to technicians. How much worldwide comms, nationwide comms, should technicians get? They argue more than they're getting now. Not all the spaces, not all the bands, but more than they have access to today. And that's their primary argument, is that VHF, UHF kind of locks people into a mainly line-of-sight communication format. The downside of this, as technician stands today, I see is the following. It largely centers around repeater work. Now, I appreciate there are amazing satellite operators that only do technician, or that are only technicians, and there are amazing people that do Earth, Moon, Earth that may be technicians, but I assume they're probably generals, just my guess. So if you live in an area unlike mine, I'm lousy with repeaters in my area. If there are no repeaters in your area, then you're not going to have much fun. or if there's only one, then it becomes a treehouse. That, you know, what was it? The no-homer treehouse. That's not great either. And I don't think that somebody should have almost a bully pulpit of controlling the communication in the area. I appreciate that we have a license and we have rules we need to follow, but I don't like the concept that one person who owns the repeater or the club that owns the repeater kind of has all the localized power. And that's kind of what it is now. If you don't have a lot of repeaters, you're kind of stuck in that sense. Repeaters are predominantly operated by clubs, which I meant, which forces techs to involve themselves with said clubs. That's a problem we'll talk about in a little bit, but clubs are changing. The face of clubs are changing. Baby boomers who were, if I go back actually, the large uptick in the late 90s and through most of the early aughts, it was discovered through surveys that were taken, although some people question the source material for these surveys, was kind of dubious in the information. But they believe that the largest percentage of people that were getting their technician license were baby boomers. So the thought being that over time, as we, again, this proposal by the ARRL would go for 10, 15 years. So in the time that baby boomers might stop being as active on amateur radio, the hope is that technicians, this upswell of technicians, would get enough incentive to carry on into the other license. So you got to think long game here, long con, right? So the no options in dealing with local people, I'm sorry, no options to, oh, so VHF, UHF, you have to deal with local people, right? You have to be involved if you want to in those spaces. You can do simplex, but again, you're somewhat limited. And there may not be that many people other than the people that are already in the club, right, in your local area. So that means no contesting outside of 10 meters, no DXing outside of 10 meters, and very less effective SOTA if there is people that are chasers at all for SOTA in your area, depending on where they're at. So just keep that in mind. Those are some of my thoughts. Of course, you can live in my area, which is wonderful for technicians. Tons of repeaters, tons of digital repeaters. You can always get a node. Where's my hotspot? I have my hotspot right here. I didn't plan this, but there's my hotspot. You could just work technician on digital. I appreciate that. I don't think that takes away from the ARRL's point of a larger point, right? They're looking at the larger movement, not necessarily what you can do because you're working within the hand that you've been dealt. Tyler Cruz says, there is a handful of VHF repeaters near me. There's one that I didn't feel welcome on, had that feeling there, why are you here? And one I felt very welcome. Yeah, so that's great. that's the best thing that you can have, and that's where we should be. So I appreciate that. KY6G, well, if you truly want to expose them, there are many generals and extras that will be glad to invite you over and get you on HF. That's how I started. Again, laziness to seek out help and learn. No question. I don't disagree with you at all. But in the future, if you're looking 10 years, 15 years down the line, are those same open-armed Elmers available? I've noticed a trend downward that there are less open and helpful Elmers that are physically available to go have an eyeball QSO with. That's my opinion, and that is an opinion that many technicians share to me on the internet, on Facebook, on our group in, you know, on Facebook for the Ham Radio Crash Course. By the way, we're about to cross 3,000 members on the Ham Radio Crash Course Facebook group, which is amazing, so I appreciate that. All right. So I'm going to cover some of the common arguments against the ARRL proposal. You've probably already seen some of them in the chat above me. I can't follow the chat as much as you all are, but I appreciate you guys are all being nice to each other. Remember, we're all in this fraternity of amateur radio together. We want to do the right things that keep it going in the future. So put your long-term hats on. Your forward, you know, what's the Karnak, the great Karnak, was that? Johnny Carson, where he put the turban on his head. Was it a turban? I think it was. Put your hat on for long vision and see what's going on and how we can help improve. Not doing anything in this case is probably not the answer. I'll just say that. So, it's already been said in the comments, but getting your general is not hard. Just take the test. My note, I agree on the face of the argument completely. General is not hard. It takes a little bit of study. It's not difficult to do. I think that people should do it, but if you don't experience something or know how fun something could be, remember, field day only comes around once a year, guys. Clubs may not be as welcoming to foster HF growth. And my YouTube videos are only so good at getting people excited about HF. It works for a lot of people. There's tons of YouTube videos out there, YouTube creators, that are doing great stuff. It makes me excited when I watch them, and I'm already licensed, right? So I appreciate that there are lots of ways that incentivize people to move on to get their license. But the ARRL is not YouTube. It's not Facebook. It's not a club. It's not an Elmer. It's a body that's trying to foster further growth in amateur radio. And I have a slide that's later that kind of makes you hopefully question the motives of the ARRL a little bit. But with that said, let's just take it on face value that they're truly just trying to improve the face of amateur radio. So I believe the argument of just go get your general, it's not hard, is flawed because it takes two tests to get to HF, real HF, effective HF, right? 20 meters, 40 meters, single sideband, digital. You need to take two. You need to take your tech and your general. For most people, if there's no incentive to continue, there will be no forward growth. Going back to the Costco Jimmy Dean sausage. If you didn't know the frozen Jimmy Dean sausage sandwiches were in the freezer department because you had never bought them before and you had never tried them and you tried one, you said, oh my God, get me these nitrates and sodium. I need these every day for the rest of my life for breakfast. How would you know if you walked past that freezer aisle? You wouldn't. Same thing with HF. Same thing with being active in these spaces. If you don't see it or experience it, you won't know it's fun. Techs can often become bored once repeater time doesn't bear the fruit. What was that? That was weird. I heard a little bang. There's nobody home. I'm all alone. The noise came from inside the house. For most people, okay, I got that. Tech can get bored once repeater time doesn't bear the fruit you're after. So I went through this. I got on repeaters. I found a repeater I really like, and the same group of people have actually moved between different repeaters. And I'm still active. I get out there all the time. I listen all the time. But I started getting to the point that I wanted to do more. So what did I end up doing? Well, I started getting active with APRS. I got really excited. Oh yeah, how to make myself disappear. There you go. I fell in love with APRS. This is obviously not the radio that I used for APRS. It was a Kenwood D72. But that really got me interested in connecting a radio to a computer, trying out packet radio, and all that stuff. So I did go out and explore. And then that led to SOTA, because I was like, what do I do with this? GPS, ham radio, packet radio. Oh, this is awesome. Let's go outside. That led to what can I do outside with radio? And Bob's your uncle. Now I've got multiple QRP radios and I love SOTA and I love mobile. So you can do it. I did it. I'm living proof. Does that mean that it will keep the hobby growing? Doing it the way I did it. Growing is the important term, because if you go back, 1% growth. 1% growth in technicians, if you trust the ARRL. Let's say you don't trust the ARRL. 1% growth is obviously not sustainable. Is 4%? Is 5%? What's sustainable? So if there's no exposure, there is no knowledge of what the world general license has to offer. And we can't depend on clubs to foster the flame of HF desire. I don't feel that way. Further, I don't think the ARRL can count on that. Nor do I really think they should, right? Their job is to affect change in regulation, to protect us from having our rights infringed, our radio rights, and allowing us more rights. I think that's what they're supposed to be doing. That's what I pay them to do. That's what I hope they continue doing. More on that later. So if you can't depend on clubs and you can't depend on Elmers, again, should ARRL be depending on them? Maybe not. People cannot count on eyeball QSOs, as I already mentioned, to build interest in HF. And since we're in a low sun cycle, you can't really expect exploring 10 meters to give you that warm and fuzzy growth of amateur radio on HF. You really need more than that. So somebody said, Franklin Lewis. I think the ARRL is for hams what the NR is for gun owners. Moreover, they're a great publishing company. I do love their magazines, both of them. Obviously QST, but what's the other one? That's the that one's more a little bit heavy electronics. So Franklin, I appreciate the super chat. Thank you very much. It will go to the window in my wife's car. Nismore 2 asks, can you Amazon link me to the Yaesu antenna adapter you use? Yeah, it's in the Amazon store in the description. If you go to amazon.com/shop/HoshNasi, links in the description, and you go to the Ham Radio Crash Course, there's going to be a black BNC to SMA adapter. That's the one you want. All right. So, it's like I have a precognition of what you guys are saying. Don't give technicians something they have not earned. Again, I agree. In face value, you appreciate more what you earn. No question. I agree. How can you disagree with that? Everyone should agree with that. You do. You appreciate more what you've earned. Due to the novice confusion, lumping technician and novice together, they do get HF privileges. They already have earned HF privileges. They do get tested on HF, and it's included in the license. So either make the license useful and foster growth in ham radio, or perhaps remove those privileges to avoid future confusion. I would be open to just saying, technician, you're just over here, no HF, maybe leave them 10 meters. If the proposal is accepted, I can just about guarantee the ARRL will change the question pool to suit the privileges. They kind of have to, right? I appreciate that they don't really want to change the question pool, and we do have a change coming up, and I think I've heard mention that this question pool would be, the one we're going into would be good for multiple years. So I don't know how all that works out, but I'm always scared when people say, don't give technicians something they haven't earned. They already are tested on HF. They're already tested on how to talk into a microphone. Many of the things that you do with a VHF, UHF radio, you do with an HF radio. So it doesn't make sense. The argument doesn't come across. They've earned the privileges. That's why they took the test, right? That's why they have access to HF. Tony KG5TON says, are you going to have a Tyro crash course? Maybe I'll just run the class. I'll do an online Tyro class. So I hope we stop saying that. Don't give them something they haven't earned, because that's just, I think, being a little ignorant to the test they're taking. They are tested on HF and they get access to HF. The only difference is the mode is single sideband and digital. So another one. Technicians with HF will not have the proper skills to operate. Now, this quote is a joke, total joke, but there are two kinds of people. The first are those that tell you they memorized portions or all of the technician and general questions to pass the test. The second are liars. Literally ask anyone who recently got their license how much of it was memorization. A lot. There's a lot of people that memorize most of the questions on the test, and then they go out and they're operating. They're generals. They can go and operate on HF. They've quote unquote earned it. So what is the problem? Our testing approach, the problem, how we qualify people. Maybe we should do the way the UK does. Maybe, there are discussions in that approach, but does that grow amateur radio? Walling something off that they have to have someone train them and personally go hands-on? Maybe, right? I don't have the answers per se to the hypothetical. I just have the discussion for what this proposal is, and kind of that's what we're covering. And I'm trying to cover the arguments in that sense. So I think we already have a fairly large amount of people that come out of testing, knowing some regulations, knowing some of the safety, which I think the testing does an okay job on that. But generally, people don't really understand all the questions they're taking and really understand them enough to the point that they will know exactly what they're doing on the bands. I don't think that's wrong. I think that we get better as we do. And if we, hashtag not all Elmers, sure, not all Elmers, but we don't have enough Elmers to grow the hobby. We don't have enough people. I'm not going to say I'm the great Elmer, but I'm out here doing stuff like this. There's not a lot of people doing stuff like this. There's not a lot of people that hold these huge, not huge, but hold these events to bring in everybody because it's so difficult. It's so difficult to pull people in to do that. So what are people doing? They're experimenting on their own. Well, how are we allowing them to experiment on their own when they're just memorizing the test and stepping out into the world with their freshly minted license with the backed up authority that they have the knowledge to operate? So the argument technicians with HF will not have the proper skill to operate, I think applies to generals, new generals. It applies to technicians today. This enhancement doesn't change that per se. Not all. Hashtag not all generals. I get that. But if you only go with the generalization argument to rebut what I'm saying, then we're not moving Hammerio forward. Anytime there's an argument that's made and you respond with a 1%, my doctor said, don't do that. Well, that's a small, small portion of the whole community. So keep that in mind. Really understand what we're talking about. We're talking about tens of thousands of people. So keep that in mind. And the growth of 10 to 15 years in the future, right? Don't get me wrong. Call in if you disagree and we can talk through it. And I want to, okay? Technicians with HF will not have the proper skills to operate. Continued. The reality, neither good nor bad, that clubs, the type of clubs romanticized by OMs, are not as prolific as before and will be less in the next 10 to 15 years. Again, true statement. I don't think that's a false statement. With that said, if you find a club you like, grab on tight, get engaged, and keep it alive. This is the, I'm standing on the fence. I agree you need to study, you need to earn, you need to get personally invested and really get in there. I agree. So if you find a club, become active. Become a part of the leadership, the council, whatever they call it. Totally immerse yourself in it. Keep it alive. Bring in technicians. Send out those mails that people tell me they get when they get their license. Hey, this club sent me a mail telling me to come to the meeting. I'm super excited. I've had multiple people tell me that happened. A lot of them come back and say they went to the meeting and they didn't like it. It was a good first step. That Omaha Beach landing was a great move forward. But what is not jibing with that new ham? I don't necessarily have the answers, but it goes more to my point that the generation of people who are active in clubs today do not necessarily work with the younger generation. Is that the older generation's fault? No. Is that the younger generation's fault? Not really either. It's just the way things are. So we have also, another point, we have entered in kind of a post-face-to-face world, right? You're watching me on YouTube, for instance. If there is no one within arm's reach to show you how it's done, you're left to experiment on your own. So long as you don't blow you or others up and are capable of acknowledging when you've made a mistake, I'm fine with this. I'm fine saying I'm okay with people experimenting. Don't hurt others. Don't hurt yourself. Take this test to make sure you don't hurt others. And be willing to acknowledge when you've done something wrong. And I think hams are generally the type of people that are drawn to amateur radio are pretty good at that. So I'll keep that in mind. Is this ideal? This world of people experimenting on their own? It can be. Maybe it should be. Why can't we self-teach? Most of us, when we have a problem now, we go on YouTube and we look up what the solution is. Most of you Google your problems. That is the world we now live in. We don't have to go to the library and pull a manual. We don't have to phone a professional. We don't have to phone someone who knows more. We just look up what we want to know and we try. That's the world we live in. And that's definitely the generation I'm a part of, and that's definitely the generation that is younger than me. Technicians will clog up the bands. Now, here's actually one that if I could change something in this, it would be this. The technicians, 40 meters is kind of a contention. The reason is it's not very large, it can be very crowded, and it's not necessarily the place that I would want to dump a bunch of new technicians onto with HF. Do I think it's going to be a problem? No. Do I think that people will be upset? Will it be a problem to them? Yes, sure, that will happen. And generals are largely losing ground in this enhancement that I already mentioned in the beginning, so keep that in mind. This is the one area where I kind of understand the argument against, is that maybe 40 single sideband, particularly, not the best place to dump the technicians, and dump's probably the wrong word, but to give them the access. So particularly since generals already are losing ground. What's the upside? More contacts, more people to talk to, more growth and longevity to the hobby, which is, again, the goal, 10 to 15 years down the line. Is this helping? Is this hurting? I think this helps. Convince me I'm wrong. That's more the point I think I would say to all these arguments is, convince me this won't help grow ham radio. If you don't necessarily want it to grow quickly or more than 1%, then okay. But explain why. Do you think it will hurt the hobby in the long run? I don't know. You can always email me too, hoshnasi@gmail.com, or join the Facebook group and you can post there. Or join the Discord and we can talk about it. So I do say this. If generals lose frequency and they don't like what's going on in 40, is that an incentive to generals to get extra? I think it is. The comment there, that's not fair. I was here first. I earned this privilege. I'm just being snide. You get HF, just learn CW. This is one I hear a lot. You get HF, you have it. This is what you have access to. Just learn CW. Okay. I love CW. I'm trying really hard to get really proficient at copying 15 to 20 words per minute. So I get it. I like CW. I see its value in things like SOTA. And that's what my goal is, to get to that. I'm a guy who goes after my goals. Would I ever in today's environment drop CW on a technician as the only way to get on a low band during the low sun cycle? No. That will and does kill momentum. It would. It does. People don't use CW today. Everybody's on FT8, right? Unless the tech in question was into that prospect, which I agree, I think we all agree, they would be rare. So the technician who wants to do SOTA could do it now with CW. Great. Do I think that they're a large percentage of technicians? No, a tiny percentage. Will that grow the hobby in the next 10 to 15 years? Absolutely not. It has no impact whatsoever. So, somebody's fighting. Are we fighting in the comments? W5KUB is taking off. See ya. Yep, Josh, Tuesday night, W5KUB, 8 p.m. Central. So we may be talking about this topic. I actually don't know what his thoughts are on that, so maybe I'll ask him about that on Tuesday. So here are the problems with the ARRL technician enhancement. They don't fix 10 meters. This is a huge problem. I'm not going to go all the way back to the band plan, but if you go look up the band plan, technicians should probably just have all of 10 meters. They can't operate in the FM space, so they can't do 10-meter repeaters. Is that my car? Well, hopefully it'll stop. Can you hear that? Is that coming through on the speaker, on the mic? There's an alarm going off. Well, this is frustrating. Oh, good. It stopped. They can't work the repeater spaces. They can't really work satellite spaces. And they can't work AM in the portions that relative to CB would be in as far as capable equipment. So they should have just put 10 meters free, give it to the technicians, totally. Right off the bat, that should have been the first thing. I don't know why they focused on the low bands instead of fixing 10 meters. The question pool, I know the ARRL said they didn't want to change the question pool, but the question pool should get some kind of update to add something more for HF. just understanding the differences between upper and lower sideband. I get tons of questions to people that go get general, that spend an inordinate amount of time wanting to understand single sideband and then upper and lower. And the questions where we're talking about the band edges, people get very caught up with that. So that would be good. Throw that on the technicians if they do that. Does the enhancement answer the question of non-hams? Why bother? Why bother with this hobby at all? To some, the enhancement is a temporary patch to a larger issue. I might be in that group. I think that it's possibly not solving the real problem. Is how do we keep amateur radio? How do we keep amateur radio alive? I'm not prepared to answer that question. I am doing this YouTube channel, which I think has brought in a lot of people, and I'm going to keep doing it because I'm passionate and I think it helps and it works. But that's not the ARRL's job. Plus, I don't want them in my backyard. I got enough of these other ham radio guys. I'm just kidding. I love all the ham radio channels. You guys are awesome. How are they bringing in new people with this enhancement? Do you think it is bringing new people in with this enhancement? Time will tell. I have a feeling that it probably would. It depends on how it's marketed and how it's understood and if people like me make content on it, create stuff. The problem with moves such as these is they make many licensed amateurs upset. Just look above me. There's multiple licensed amateurs that are more upset about this than anything good that the ARRL could be doing right now. Which, as we know, from recent political victories, only spurs your now angry base to reject and overtake you. Is this juice really worth the squeeze? I argue it might not be. I support it, but is it good disenfranchising the many upset hams that we have that are in the chat right now? I understand. I get your point of view. I don't disagree with you. Norman Hauser says, I'm a CBer and I'm creeping into ham. Good man. CBers are welcome. People who understand amateur or people who understand radio, more the party. Get in the pool. We got tons of room in this pool, actually. People say the bands are dead. It's not. It's that there's hams not on the bands, which throw some more technicians into that. Super excited young people, would they make the bands busier? Probably. I almost guarantee it. So yeah, I get it. I get where you're coming from. Is the juice worth the squeeze? Why are we doing this? I'd much rather see the ARRL focusing on getting HOAs off amateur radio's backs. There are multiple people I know of who are not progressing into general because they don't want to worry about putting up an antenna and having to deal with the HOA. If you're gonna bang this gong for the technician enhancement, you must also bang HOA gong. That's a whole nother frustration, but I really think that more needs to be done by the ARRL regarding HOAs. So I was gonna read this, but we're running a little long and I wanna talk briefly on Tyro. What the hell. The operating privileges that accompanied the license class isolated them from their peers as a practical matter. It relegated them to communications within local geographic areas, and they became largely segregated into amateur radio clubs and groups oriented towards FM repeater communications. The technician class license offered at the time little opportunity to experience other facets of amateur radio or to conduct worldwide communications. This led, ARRL argued, to disinterest and to the failure to upgrade one's license class, and it focuses the mindset of licensees on local communications, like Aries and Racies. Not that there's anything bad, but that's kind of the outlet. Amateur radio is a national and worldwide network of licensees who have historically interacted and formed worldwide fraternities without local boundaries. Appropriate modern HF operating privileges at the entry level are necessary to address this, ARRL's petition stated, and it was further necessary to broaden the scope of experience of the entry-level licensee. To allow that licensee to become part of the whole of the amateur radio community and to encourage technical experimentation and self-training. Self-training. Kind of my argument. But, and I leave you with this caveat before we talk Tyro. Remember the source here. The ARRL has roughly 20% of American hams as members, and they have a difficult problem retaining members, retaining subscribers. They're able to pull in the first timers, but the next year, A lot of drop-off. So why are, what is the real motive here? Put on your tinfoil hats. What is the real motive here? 20% of American hams, people who are licensed, I mean, not 20% of the population. 20% of the population of, if 20% of America was amateur radio operators, that would be nuts. There would be no space on the band. All right, Tyro. Tyro stands for new recruit. I believe it's Latin of some origin, but I believe it was Connor who said it stands for try your radio out, which I think is funny. But we know now that's not true. So if you wanted to make people mad, the license is Tyro. In short, Tyro licensees would earn operating privileges proposed to be 99 channels in the 70-centimeter proposed Tyro subband. Applicants would have to be at least 11 years old. Okay. Hampton said, who's the person who wrote the petition, that one goal would be to have reliable nationwide 70-centimeter interoperability in the exclusive 430 to 440 megahertz segment of the band. Interoperability is an interesting point. This individual is obviously very focused on emergency radio and favors this as a way for a neophyte, a young person, no younger than 11, to get their hands on a 70-centimeter radio and would be able to talk on it to other licensed amateurs, possibly those in Aries and Races. So it would be a try it out. The concept being that they would take an online test administered by an Elmer or a VE and pay a nominal fee. And I believe the test is nominal, if anything. I think it might just be a GMRS type thing. The issue with Tyro. The frequency space proposed is already in use, monitored by local frequency coordinators for repeaters and satellites. So I don't even know how this is going to work because they're talking about channelized sections of 70 centimeters, and that's already well in use. So what are we really doing? I don't get it. The 11-year-old age seems super arbitrary. Why 11? Any age can become a tech. Why the distinction? And then there's an Elmer requirement, and this is like a weird, the Elmer has to be involved in training the Tyro applicant, the young person, the novice, and I jokingly, check in with your parole officer every day, young man. I mean, that's what it sounds like. It's not fostering experimentation to me, so I don't get it, and you get the idea. How do you police this? Is there a curriculum? Who creates the curriculum? What is the point of all of it? So is this a sacrificial lamb? Again, going back to my question, putting on the tinfoil hat. Is this a sacrificial lamb? Maybe. I'm going to turn the Collins on because I think we're close to the end here. I think that might be the last one. Oh, the upside of Tyro. Eases people into amateur radio, potentially. Interoperability with Aries and Races, potentially. People can use the same equipment that they've always used. You can hand a kid a Baofeng that's programmed and channelized via Chirp. Cheap and easy to get online via an online test. Yeah. And potentially would pull GMRS people in. That's good too. Why, you know, GMRS people can be hams too, right? Okay, so that is my talk on the amateur radio technician enhancement. Uh-oh, my camera is starting to go wackadoo. I was having a problem with this before. So let's see, do we have color? Do we have a color? Otherwise, I'll catch up on the comments here. 275 people watching. You guys are awesome. Thank you for that. All right. Truant officer for Little Rascals, says Tony KGTON. Why do they need Tyro when they already have GMRS, FRS, and MERS? Good question. So a lot of those radios are not interoperable with amateur radios. So a Races or Aries person would have to have both to be able to interoperate with this potential group. Why is the phone number over the call? Derp. All that bluster in the comments and nobody wants to call in. That's fine. We can just end this thing. We can go to Discord. You're probably already over there anyway. Tony, KG5TON, says, I appreciate your effort with this topic. Yeah, I appreciate that some people may not love this. I get it. Lee says, I'd call, but I'm on the train. I appreciate that, Lee. That seems to be a waste of AWRL funding, better spent on something else. Tech is easy to get and the radios are dirt cheap. Yeah, see, it almost writes itself. Don't have Tyro, it's easy enough to get a tech. Don't give techs HF privileges, it's easy enough to get general. Right? I mean, you get... Mark Kidd says, I made some good points. I appreciate that. Thank you. Wayne Dixon says, add the GMRS FRS MERS to the handbands, bang interoperability. Except we need to have somewhere that people can go for basically free to get communications. We don't want to have a communication completely walled off to people behind a forcing them to learn something and to go somewhere to take a test. Somebody said Wayne is making sense. Oh, he was the one that wrote the... So somebody said abolish the... Oh, Colin Owens Flood. Sounds like you guys need something similar to what we do in Canada. Pass basic, you get VHF, UHF. Pass with more than 80, you get HF but limited. Yeah, see, I wouldn't be against that. More to come on that. Hold on. N0BTC. How's it going, buddy?
It's going all right. It's Dave, N0BTC. I was interested. I've been watching your live stream and I've been really enjoying it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Hold up. Maybe. If I can figure out how my phone works, apparently.
Or get off of the website you're listening. I can hear myself.
Okay, there we go. There we should be good.
Okay, cool. So what do you think?
I don't know what I think about the Tyro thing.
Okay, fair enough.
The technician enhancement, though, I really am in favor of it.
Okay.
Because as a technician, I don't feel as though, like, I was a tech here recently, and yeah, we got 10 meters, but again, the bands, with the way they are, most people are on 20 and 40, and most people don't go up to 10, especially
right.
Not in our solar cycle.
Yes, that's a true point.
As far as 70 centimeters, though, one thing that I do feel as though should be put on the tech test is actually the fact that above the north of the A-line, they should tell techs where that's at, because I didn't know it existed until I was looking at the extra pool. And you can't use 420 to 430 north of like Duluth, Minnesota, and some pretty actually major population centers like Detroit.
Yes. So that is a very good point. That is something that probably should go on the test, if not be mentioned more often. So I agree. And everybody calling in, we hear you. So just hang on the line. I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, that's all I had. Thanks for taking the call.
I appreciate it. So thank you very much. N0BTC, Bitcoin, right?
Yep, that's the one.
I remember when you called in the last time. The system's great. I type in people's name and it remembers them. So immediately I know who's calling in. So thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, new caller. What's your name?
Hey, Matthew.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't catch the last part. What was that? What was the question?
This is Matthew from Maine. I am a technician.
Yeah.
I have misattendance of this. And when I remember when I got my tech in 2012, and I didn't know what to do. The only way this new program will work is if they restructure the whole question book. So, we need to get new text on HF, but I also think they don't other things that cause this will that be
So I'll restate that a bit. So you're a technician. You said you took your test, and there are portions of it that you didn't remember or know the full information on, and that you're basically saying kind of what I talked about earlier. I had a slide on it that people that get HF, you feel that they might not have the knowledge coming out as technicians. But I guess the question I have, or the response to that, is what is so important about HF that technician is fine with, if technicians are okay coming out with their license not knowing enough, then what makes HF such a thing that we can't have newbies out there too? I would argue that generals are also newbies that don't know most of the stuff in the book, but it's okay for them to be out there. So I guess I don't get it. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Go ahead.
I get the informant general. Let's stop in the general even after I wish I learned a technician because there are so many homes that get the technician. Did not know there was propagation that the government that could go bomb, and I think we will have a lot more write-ups of people that are going out of their segment because they get no better, they will get off. My brain is broken because I can't get no more. Well, if you understood how the population works.
So, I agree with you in the sense that there will definitely be technicians that come out on HF and not know things, and they will do things wrong, and OMs, actually non-OMs, just anybody will be like, oh, look at these technicians, they don't know what they're doing. But that's only going to happen. Go make a fool of yourself on air, whether it's on a repeater or on HF, and have someone correct you. You will likely never do that again. Oh my God, what did I just do? I did something. Oh no, my video. Hold on. Oh no. Wow, what happened? I think I can fix this. Let's do this. And I will do, I was having problems with this earlier. So, wow, this is all going to be messed up. So, yeah, I think that you're right that it will happen, but I don't think that it's necessarily a problem that won't solve itself. People won't continue to be like, oh, hey, I'm just going to do what I want and be all over the radio and not care. Those people will get notice to the FCC, and obviously people will come find them and they will send them messages. So ham radio is still a self-policing organization, right? So I don't think that that's necessarily a big problem. I think I appreciate that though. So, okay.
Oh, I.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still gonna go with what I said on the with the comments earlier. I think that that's still a true statement, that there's just not gonna be as much of a problem. I think it's true there will be problems, but that it's not nearly as bad as what we what we think it might become. So, I got another call, so I'm gonna go to them if that's all right. And I know you hop on the Discord a lot, so if you go over there, we'll talk later, okay?
All right, you good? 72.
72.
We'll talk to
Got a QRP, buddy.
you later.
All right, take it easy, buddy. New caller, who do we have?
Hello.
What's your name?
Hello. Hello, my name is Matt. My call sign is KM6WSY.
All right.
WSY.
WSY, got it. So what's going on?
Yeah, I'm just watching the stream and maybe have a few comments. And as we said over there, the test, you know, I don't believe that test should be like just a first step, just to limit the people to get in. As you know, a lot of people say that after they got tested, forgot a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff just isn't really relevant to actually
Yeah,
operating the radio.
I agree completely.
Yeah, and
And keep in mind too, a lot of people that take their test, right? They're memorizing slash trying to answer a question. They're not necessarily learning the content. Like learning it, like going hands-on and actually experiencing what the true answer to the question is, right?
yeah, so a lot of people just say like, hey, just bite the bullet, pass the test, get on the air, and have a lot of fun.
Right.
So, yeah, and my thought is like, the test they should get the playground in HF. Ham radio is all about experimenting, and really, if a channel or extra start somehow looking down tech on that way, then that's not right. And
I
that's
agree.
yeah, that's just my thought on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're boy, it's you of course people take a, if you have a multiple choice test, people will just memorize the multiple choice test, right? That's the American way. Or maybe it's just human nature. So, of course that's what's going to happen in a lot of cases like this. Oh, I don't have the call-in number. There we go.
Yeah, and also that to get people in, I feel somehow like the ham radio, it's not really a conversation starter, and it's like something, or if you're interested in it, you will get it sooner or later, and if you don't have that interest, like no matter how much people are trying to advertise that to you or pushing on you, you're not going to have fun with it. And
You should see me
yeah.
at happy hours or drinking parties where I go up to people and, hey, do you know about ham radio? My cold open on ham radio is great. I just slay them. No, yeah, of course. It's pretty boring. A lot of times people will come over to parties at our house and they'll ask me, what's with the huge ass thing you have on your roof? Oh, that's my antenna. Antenna for what? For ham radio.
Exactly.
Ham radio, that's what my grandpa did. Well, yeah, but blah 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 blah. And so you talk about satellites, you talk about, yeah, I go up on this mountain here, check out this picture, I had a great time, it was a lot of fun. You like hiking, right? And you start selling. You gotta sell that ham radio. Right
Yeah,
on.
that I don't even know how I started. I got my license November last year, so I'm actually fairly new, and I already forgot how I got it.
Well, we're glad you're here. So thank you for calling in. Do you have any other questions or comments that you'd like to say?
No, that's it. That's just some of my thoughts on there.
Very good.
So, yeah, you can pass it on.
Okay, cool. All right, I think I got my, I don't know what I did to my camera, but all right, well, it's good talking to you, Matt. You have a nice evening. And are you going to join us over on the Discord?
Yeah, sure.
Right
Definitely
on.
going down
Good
later.
answer. Good answer, buddy. Okay. See you later. All right. Okay, so I think that'll do it. We went a little bit long, but hopefully that was entertaining. Of course, Can't forget now, and the kids are home, so I got to do this right now. Thank you to all the patrons. We are relatively fastly approaching the 175 patron goal. When I hit that, I will stream twice a week. Don't tell my wife I have made this promise. I don't think she ever goes on the Patreon page because she will kill me. Anyway, oh, don't do it. Don't freak out, camera. Anyway, I want to thank the patrons, the producers in particular, William Horton, Chris Ebert, Carrie Blackwell. Carrie's been with us since the beginning. Thank you. Jason Brown, Jason Siebert, David Dancero, Danny Miller. Charlotte, stop. Anthony Franklin Miller, Franklin Lewis, Michael Nieswender, Brad Snyder, Gareth Broadhead, Dennis Dunderdale, Justin Blackburn, Garrett Larson, the infamous No Name, Dean Johnson, Ben Kellum, Dennis Mickelson, George Gaini, Andy, Kenny Miyamoto, Ron Thorson, 86DM Dennis, my buddy over on Twitter, Michael Baxter, Devin B. Hedge, Mark Chase, Mark McCarty, Julian OH8STN, we love his videos, go subscribe to him, Raymond Cracker, Geraldo Kelso, Bo Brewer, Ronald White, Corey Sheldon, Brad Nadeau, Stephen Hunt, Ronald Pelkey, Ronald White, K-E-8-H-W-D, Rob, I think he was in the chat, Colorado Ham, uh-oh, it's freaking out, and the Brew Crew. Last thing before I leave, go take the link in the description. There is a survey. It's the state of amateur radio in 2019. It's not ran by me. It is an attempt to get a good sample size of amateur radio enthusiasts. Please go take it, because largely what happens is this gets posted on QRZ.com. I love QRZ.com, but that's not necessarily where we want the entire sample of information to be drawn from. So please, please go take that link. It's kind of a long survey. I appreciate that. Thank you for doing it. I am KI6NAZ, Hosh Nasi. This is the Ham Radio Crash Course. Thank you so much for watching. We are going to Discord right now for the live after chat. If you have not already, please give me a thumbs up. Please hit subscribe, and please hit the little ding-a-ling bell so that you get notified when I post my next video, which there is going to be a lot of videos posted between now and Hamvention, so I hope you're ready. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great weekend. Take it easy. Oh, I'm going to play my music. Okay. Play me out. Darren Beckford, my buddy, moving from California to Austin, Texas. I'm going to miss you, buddy. All right. Well, yeah. Anyway. All right. Take it easy. See you.